Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when Jesus asked people to follow him, what he was doing was inviting them into a whole new way of life. It would be the kind of life that would reflect and demonstrate godliness in all aspects of our life. And the misconception is that when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, many of us can think that God will automatically just transform everything about us and that we suddenly become new people who start functioning just like him. See, when we decide to follow Jesus, the transformation does happen in the sense that we are made new in Christ spiritually, and God now sees us as sinless and we have perfect standing with him. However, in order to fully experience and live out the life that God intended for us here on earth, Jesus invites us to cooperate with him and to do the hard work of discipleship, which means learning to surrender our way of doing life and following Jesus in all areas of our life. Instead of being reliant on yourself, you are now learning to be reliant on God. And discipleship is having the kind of relationship with God where you daily and moment by moment say, "Jesus, how would you guide me to approach this situation in my life?" "Oh, is that what you would have me do? Well, then I'm going to do it your way." "Well, Jesus, what would you have me say in response to what was just said to me?" "Oh, is that what you would have me say? Well, then I'm going to respond the same way." And we learn to live this way when we focus our energies on doing three things. It is focusing on following Jesus with others, and helping others to follow Jesus. Because when we start to do these things daily, we begin to have more of an awareness of ourselves, a greater awareness of God, and a greater awareness of others. And because of what God is doing in our lives, and because we want to honor him with our lives, we start to frequently examine the healthy and unhealthy practices that have contributed to why we think and function the way that we do. We start to look at the roots of unhealthiness that we learned from our family of origin, or even the people who influenced us growing up, so that we can learn to move forward in order to live in healthy and godly ways. And we do this with every area of our life, with relationships, family, work, hobbies, marriage, and even parenting. And if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, and if you have a desire to invite God into everything that you can invite him into, then why would we not invite him into how we deal with our money and our finances? German theologian Martin Luther said, "When it comes to following Jesus, three conversions are necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Of these three, the conversion of the purse is the most difficult." See, Jesus knew that our money would compete for our devotion with him. Because it's easy to give our heart, our mind, or even selected areas of our life to Jesus, but not our money to Jesus. Because when it comes to money, our culture teaches us to think just about ourselves and how money can just benefit us. But God's view of money is to use it to provide for ourselves and even to help those who can't provide for themselves. Culture says hoard, God says give. Culture says invest in this life and live it up for yourselves, whereas God says use what you have to invest in this life, but live for the one to come. Culture says you own it all, so do whatever you want with it. But God says he owns it all, so use it in a way that he would want us to use it. See, God's view on money and possessions goes against everything that the culture emphasizes about money or we grew up learning about money. That is why if we choose to follow Jesus, it's not just picking and choosing how we follow Jesus or which areas of our life he's allowed in and which areas he's not. But it's trusting that by following Jesus, we become more like the one we follow in every single area of our lives. In fact, God wants us to follow his cues on money, whereby money becomes our servant and not our master. And when money is in its rightful place in our lives as the servant, and when God is in his rightful place in our lives as our king and as our master, we are transformed and go from clenched fist to open-handed with what we have. And generosity becomes a natural byproduct because of who is king and who we follow. All throughout Scripture, we see God being a generous God. We see that he's the God that gives life. Scripture says, "Then the Lord God formed a man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." We see that God gave his laws to protect his people from themselves. Scripture says, "You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." And when we walked away from God, rebelling against him and choosing to go our own way, he is the God who gave us his son. Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." See, God left heaven and took the first step to come to us as a man. He was stripped and he lost all his riches so that we could be in relationship with him. Jesus came to show us how much he loved us, even though we wronged him again and again. And knowing that the consequence of our sins is death and separation from God for all of eternity, he chose to show us mercy, even though we didn't deserve it, and he died in our place and for our sins, so that we could be forever free. And because of his generosity and what he did, our lives in eternity are changed. Because giving is who God is, and God wants us to reflect that same generosity to those around us. You know, we're in the last part of our sermon series called Money Matters. Because how we use our money matters. In fact, Jesus spoke a lot about money, not because he cared about money, but because he cares about us. And over this series, we've been learning that God is the owner of all things and that what we have has been entrusted to us by him to manage for him. We are all managers and we are not owners. In fact, we don't even own our lives because our life can be taken from us at any time. We also learned that when we walk around thinking that we are the owners of all that we have, then the reality is that money has already owned us, which means that money is our God and King, and we have fallen into the trap of materialism, where money or things become central in our life instead of God. So we're either using the money entrusted to us in order to worship ourselves or using the money to worship God. We're either using the money we have to store treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. Because if money is our king and center of our lives, we will waste the money and the possessions that we have and even waste our lives with the wrong meaningless purposes. But if God is the center and king of our lives and money is our servant, we will leverage what we have on earth for eternal purposes and live out God's purposes for us here and forever. That is why, in order to fight our tendency to be selfish, materialistic, or even to hoard stuff for ourselves, God instituted something called a tithe that was meant to safeguard the nation of Israel from greed while helping to give them the training wheels to be a blessing to others and to move away from a self-centered life. And this principle of tithing continues to be practiced by followers of Jesus all throughout the centuries. And if you didn't catch it last time, a tithe was where God told his people to give 10% of their income back to God as a declaration that he is the provider and that he comes first. People often will think, well, if I just give God his portion, I can do what I want with the rest. But that's actually not true. God owns all of what we have, even what is left. And we are still managers of what is left. But instead, it is living wisely off the rest the way that God would want us to use it. That is why the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. And when God is first in this area of our finances, tithing becomes the training wheels in helping us to be generous people just like God. Scripture says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. See, people get so focused on the giving and what they don't have as a result of the giving. But it is what the giving does in us that really matters. Because when I'm generous with what God has entrusted me with, it actually enlarges the love in my heart for other people. It enlarges my character and shapes it to be more Christ-like. It enlarges my perspective to see people and the world the way that God sees people and the world. It enlarges my impact because I'm using what I have to help others. And it enlarges my influence because it enables me to speak into the lives of those around me. See, God is generous with everything that he has. And as his followers, he wants us to be generous with everything that we have. So it's not just with money, but with our time, our hospitality, our resources, our praise, our talents, and even our abilities. God wants generosity to be something that we value and a lifestyle that we practice. That is why tithing is the training wheels that helps us to be generous people, because we are in the practice of going from clenched fist to open hands. And people think tithing is the finish line to aim for. But the reality is that it's actually the starting point that we build from as God transforms us to be even more generous people. Because the real test of our generosity is, does it cost us when we give? Are we giving in a way where we have to sacrifice and in a way that stretches us, where we have to trust God and even forego things like that new vacation or that new car or those extra desserts that we want? See, when we have clenched fists with what we have, God cannot put anything else in our hands. But every time we freely give or have open hands, God will actually supply us. Scripture says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, when we honor God with what we have by giving it away in order to bless others, He will bless us with what He has. But it isn't to store for ourselves, but to be generous with what He has given to us. Because abundance is not God giving me stuff so I can live in more luxury, but it is using the stuff that God has given to me so that I can help others to live. Scripture says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, God blesses us and gives us more not to increase our standard of living, but the reality is it's to increase our standard of giving. But remember, it is not just giving, but giving sacrificially. It's giving the best and giving where it hurts and where it stretches us. I see many times people post things on everything is free on Facebook or on some community board. You know, hey, free couches, free shirts, free shoes, free stuff. And that seems nice and the recipient thinks that the one giving is really, really generous. But the reality is that most of our giving is really us just discarding. We will give someone a couch because we are getting a new couch. Or we'll give someone clothes because we're getting new clothes. But sacrificial giving is giving away the new couch to someone or getting new clothes for someone instead of for yourself. See, God encourages us to step out in faith in order to be generous and to trust Him to fill the gap of what we have given. But many of us hold on to money and stuff in case God fails to catch us or in case He fails to provide for us. And that is why tithing is just an opportunity to trust God and grow in our generosity. And if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, you will need to answer this question. Do you love Jesus more or money more? And how you answer that question will determine who has your heart. See, following Jesus doesn't mean taking a nice stroll with Him in the woods, and then when you get tired, you get to go home and do your own thing. Following Jesus means giving all of ourselves over to all of God. It is being willing to give what is most precious to us, to Him, so that it can be used in order to bless the life of someone else. Pastor Mark Battison of National Community Church said, "My bank statement doesn't lie. In fact, it is a statement of faith, and it reveals my true priorities. Let me be blunt, because on the subject of money, Jesus was. Obedience can be measured in dollars. So can faith. So can sacrifice. It is certainly not the only measure, but it is the most accurate. If we give God 2% of our income, can we really say we are 100% committed to Him? If we withhold the tithe, can we really say in God we trust? If we give God our leftovers instead of our first fruits, can we really say we are seeking first His kingdom? Remember, God doesn't need our money, but He does want our heart. And how we give reveals who is the king of our heart. Because every time we do give, God uses our obedience and He turns it into someone else's miracle. Remember, we will never manage God's money well or even release God's money unless we truly believe that it's God's money. And there's a difference between knowing that God owns and cheerfully submitting to His ownership of everything. See, tithing isn't a chore, nor is it charity. It's an act of worship because we get to give in faith, and it goes to God, and He uses it and blesses both the giver and the one being given to. And tithing should never be an impulsive thing that we do, but it is a choice that we make ahead of time as we plan to be more generous with what we have. So what can we do to plan to be more generous people that reflect the God that we follow? Two next steps. The first is keep track of where your money goes. See, people who don't make much don't think that they need to keep track of the money that they have because they don't make much. And people who make too much think that they don't need to keep track of the money that they have because they make too much. But there is no excuse for not knowing where your money is going or where it went. And the reason why knowing where your money goes is a good practice is because when you start to do this, you start to realize just how much money you can spend on useless things and even how much money you spend on yourself. Many people say they can't tithe or be generous towards God's purposes because they have more month left over than money. But when you know where money is going, not only does it make you a better manager of what God has entrusted to you, but you will start reallocating the money you have in order for it to go to better places. You start to get a better picture of where your money is going and even how much debt you may have. That is why I encourage people to go to everydollar.com. It is a free way to come up with a spending plan so that you can know exactly what is coming in and most importantly, know where it's all going as you make cuts, pay off debt, get into a position where you can have more breathing room when it comes to your finances. And this allows you to then leverage what you have to give and be more generous towards the things of God. And if this is new to you, then I suggest you begin by tracking everything you spend for 3 months in order to get an accurate picture of where the money is going. Don't just look at your credit card statements or just your spending that you have, but take all that spending and put it in categories so that you know where the money is going. Most people don't know, and that is a very dangerous and risky place to be. But when you do know, and you do know where money is going, you can actually start to become more responsible with what you have. You know, I was challenged by a mentor to track my spending when I was in my 20s, and it was an eye-opening experience for me. I realized I was spending over $400 on takeout meals in 1 month, over $100 on snacks whenever I went to the gas station to fill up in a month, and over $300 spending on frivolous gifts that I only used once. That was $800. That could have been used for better purposes. And when I started to track monthly, I realized how carelessly I spent money simply because I had money. And so I started to cut down by turning down the heat at home and layering up during the winters, shutting off lights and unplugging electronics that were not being used, drinking tap water instead of soda or juice all the time, switching to a more affordable phone plan, staying home to eat and inviting friends back to my house for dinner instead of always going out to eat. And this also made me realize the debt that I was holding on to that needed to be paid off because I was getting killed on the interest. But because I got to know where my money was going, I became more responsible with what I had. And when it came to giving, instead of throwing a $10 bill here or $20 bill there when the baskets came by at church, I was actually able to practice tithing as a way for me to contribute to what God was trying to do in my church and in my community. And so tracking allowed me to worry less and trust God more with what He had given to me. And so track your spending and see what God reveals to you about your spending. And the second thing is take a step of faith and practice tithing. Tithing all comes down to priorities, and God wants us to get our priorities in line with His. When we want to honor God by giving towards His purposes, God will take care of us. Whenever I give back to Him sacrificially, like giving a tenth of my income, I have seen God supernaturally do more with the remaining 90% that I have left. Then, when I gave 20 or 30% or even 40% of my income, I saw God do even more supernaturally with the 80, 70, or even the 60% that was left. Whenever I gave sacrificially and then lived within my means with the rest, God somehow just kept on showing up in order to provide for me. An unexpected wire transfer of money from a family member into my bank account, a car that should have been gone years ago, somehow still going, a washing machine that should have stopped a long, long time ago, somehow is still kicking, shoes and clothes that have lasted for years, and rent that didn't go up for years. Call it coincidence, but I believe it's God's provision and God taking care of me because I first chose to honor Him. So if you're someone here who wants to take that step and to begin tithing, you may be wondering, where do I tithe to? And the answer to that question is to whatever church you consider to be your home. And if you are someone who considers Community City Church to be your home, then let me tell you what happens with all of our tithes. The money that we all tithe is really turned into stories, because stories are really what matters. Stories bring joy and life change. Stories are memories of how we have made a difference with the money and the stuff that has been entrusted to us now and for eternity. And it's not just you tithing. I tithe, my wife tithes, our leaders tithe. And the hope is that everyone who considers this church to be their home will tithe, because we want to practice being the most generous people, and we want to be the most generous church. But that can only happen when it begins with us. See, our tithes are used to create environments so that people can follow Jesus with others, and help others to follow Jesus. It is used so that we can have worship gatherings on Sundays and hubs for community all throughout the week. It is used to pay staff to lead, used to build leaders for the dream team, and to equip and empower them to lead as spiritual leaders and as ministers of the gospel. It is used to extend pastoral care to anyone at Community City Church, and to create environments that foster deeper community with God, with Christians, and even with non-Christians. It is also used to rent the space that we currently have, to buy equipment, to meet with people for counsel, and to even help people in the community who have needs. All this doesn't just happen, but it's because people tithe and are generous that we are creating a transformational church so that all people can find new life in Christ as we help them to walk in that life. And we have seen people saved. We've seen people healed, marriages restored, people equipped, addictions defeated, freedom realized, forgiveness extended, reconciliation happening, and people finding belonging. And we're growing as a church because people are coming to Jesus and finding this place to be home for them. And so we want to continue to use our tithes for more mission and more stories so that we can grow our staff to meet the needs of the people here and in the city. A worship leader so that we can have live music. An assistant pastor so that we can have community groups for middle and high school students. And eventually to buy a building so that we can have a place to host and to bless people as we worship God together. Remember, all this doesn't just happen, but it is when people put God first in the area of their finances and take the step of faith to give that God grows the faith of those who give and bring people to Him. It is not just building a church. It is also using our tithes and our influence to build bridges of trust with people and organizations in the city of Malden in order to serve them and meet the needs of the city. It is helping those who are poor and in need materially, relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. But we're not here to just give money to problems, but we're here to help people out of their predicaments, which in turn helps them out of their poverty. That is why we started Neighbor to Neighbor. Since food insecurity is such a big issue in Malden for so many people, every week on Mondays, a team of Dream Team members wrap loaves of bread, bagels, produce, treats, and they put them in bags in order to bless our neighbors. Then other teams go out and to deliver these bags to over 60 plus families in one of the low income housing properties right in Malden. And people will wait at their doors for us to come, not just to receive the food, but also to receive friendship, prayer, and hope. And it is through such relationships that we're able to meet physical, relational, emotional, and spiritual needs. It is because of our tithes that we can help people financially by giving them the tools to be financially free. That's why every semester we offer financial classes for you and anyone else who wants to get out of their financial predicaments. We offer English conversation classes to help our immigrant neighbors to practice English as they learn the ins and outs of American culture, so that they can be equipped to find better jobs, make friends, and thrive while living in America. We give counsel and guidance to such families with parenting, marriage, addictions, and even life. We help students and kids to think about college and parents to think about changing their financial trajectories. And many people think that this all just happens, but it is because of our tithes that we give that go into helping our very neighbors in this very city. And it is through these avenues that we're able to gain trust with people, earn goodwill, and help them to think about Jesus and even take one step closer to Him. And these are just a few examples of how the money that we all tithe to, that we all give to, is really turned into stories of life change. Our sacrificial giving of tithes to God is used to help people in the church and in the city as we bring mercy, justice, redemption, and restoration to the city. You know, Malden is our mission field. And since Malden is so diverse, consisting of people from all over the world, we believe that if we can reach Malden with the love of Jesus, we will reach the world. We want to give everyone the opportunity to hear about Jesus and give them the opportunity to follow Him. Because we know that when they do, the trajectory of their lives will start to change forever. And we want to offer other ministry initiatives like Alpha classes and discipleship tripods so that people can follow Jesus with others and help others to follow Jesus. And then ultimately, as we reach people using the money that we are giving to God, we hope to plant other churches like this one in places like Lynn and Chelsea or even Revere, because we want our tithing to go towards people and things that are eternal. But this all happens when we step out in faith and invest generously towards what is eternal. Remember, giving is who God is, and God wants us to reflect that same generosity to those around us. This is God's church, and we want to honor Him by stewarding the resources entrusted to us the best way that we can towards life change. Because if we're going to invest in anything, we want to invest in God's priorities that are eternal rather than things that are temporal. Remember, if our heart follows our money, then if you invest in the lives of the people in Malden by tithing, your heart will start to care for the lives and the eternities of the people in Malden. So if you're not tithing, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith to consistently tithe and see what God does. And if you are already tithing, I want to encourage you to take the step of faith to give more above and beyond your tithe as you see God do above and beyond what you could ever think or imagine. Remember, God is generous with everything he has. And as his followers, he wants us to be generous with everything we have. May we reflect the generous God that we follow. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, all that we have is yours. And so we want to put you first in everything, including the money that we have. And so teach us to be generous people who bless because you have blessed us. And God, help us to wisely use what you've given to us so that others may find eternal life in you. Help us to take the step of faith to start tracking what you have entrusted to us and to practice tithing as a declaration that you come first, especially in this area of our finances. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and his hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much and that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but that he's the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources in order to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.